This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to community news covering the towns of Southbridge, Charlton, Sturbridge, Brimfield, Dudley, and Wales. This program is sponsored by, in part, by the Lions Club of Sturbridge and Brookfield. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the Southbridge Evening News and Charlton and Sturbridge Villagers. Today, we will be reading from the June 14th editions. This is Melanie Guralnick. The first story is Early College Southbridge Expanding After Two Successful Years. Southbridge. The Early College Southbridge partnership between Quinsigamond Community College and Southbridge Public Schools has experienced significant growth and student achievement after its second year of implementation. Students in early college programs take free college-level courses and earn credits while in high school. Students also explore career paths, develop soft skills, and gain access to college resources such as tutoring. Launched in 2024 with 52 students, Early College Southbridge expanded to 84 students in 2025. This year, over 50 seniors will have earned credit for at least one college class, including several students who will graduate with more than 12 college credits. Quote, "I'm so proud of our students. I've seen them become very engaged and motivated," said Kathleen Catterett, Director of Early College and Community Partnerships for Southbridge Public Schools. "This is a pillar of moving our district forward and showing investment in our students." As Early College Southbridge enters its third year, the program will expand its offerings from 2 to 5 courses, which include career-aligned curriculum in healthcare and management. Quote, "The strength of our partnership is vital to the success of the program. QCC has collaborated with Southbridge for many years, including its current satellite location at the high school," said Veronica Guay, Executive Director of High School Dual Enrollment Programs and Partnerships for QCC. Quote, "Building the bridge between K-12 and higher education requires strong systems and communication. Southbridge High School made a tremendous impact by adapting their schedule and processes to make this program work." In addition to coursework, the program includes hands-on career exploration opportunities. Students are introduced to fields such as healthcare, manufacturing, and information technology through the site visits, job fairs, and partnerships with local organizations and regional businesses. Superintendent Bill Metzger emphasized the importance of access and local opportunity, especially for the Southbridge Public Schools, where close to 90% of students are historically underrepresented in higher education. "For our students, transportation and access can be barriers, so it's critical that QCC is right here and fits so well with our community," Metzger said. "Early College is helping us establish that there is a lot of value to staying enrolled at Southbridge High School." Metzger also noted that the teachers from SHS are gaining valuable experience as they become trained for early college instruction. "Professional development also takes place across institutions so instructors can connect and collaborate." Early College Southbridge enables students to take college courses at no cost through funding from the Massachusetts Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. Credits earned are fully transferable through the Mass Transfer Program, allowing students to apply them towards certificates and degrees across the state's public higher education system. QCC is also part of early college programs in Worcester and Marlborough. Early College is another initiative for students that Massachusetts is going to lead the way on and become an exemplar for the nation, Metzger added. There is a picture included with this article It's students and instructors from the Early College Southbridge math class. So they're in their classroom. All the kids are standing together, posing for the picture. And the instructor or teacher, he's kind of kneeling in the front. And these kids are so cool. Like they're cuddled together. They've got peace signs out. They're hugging on each other. They're just super happy looking. And the teacher is wearing like a hoodie and some tan slacks. And yeah, I think he's proud of the students behind him. Courtesy of, oh, there's no photo credit, sorry. This story is called Early College Southbridge Expanding After Two Successful Years. The next story is Charlton Land Trust and Historical Society team up for talk on land and the American Revolution. Charlton. Charlton Heritage Preservation Trust, or CHPT, and the Charlton Historical Society, CHS, will collaboratively present a free lecture entitled Land, Revolution, and Charlton by James David Moran on Tuesday, June 30th at 7 p.m. in the Ryder Tavern. The talk will examine the way people in 18th century Charlton and Massachusetts understood and used the land, and how these ideas and practices led to the rebellion and then revolution from Great Britain. Charlton also played a significant role in declaring independence, and this will be described by Moran in his talk. The CHPT and CHS are collaborating on this program in celebration of the nation's 250th anniversary. While most Americans today don't think of land as being a catalyst for the American Revolution, it was a central component in how the British colonists understood their own identities. Owning land was the key to political and economic agency and power, and the need for more land put rural Massachusetts farmers on a collision course with King George and his Parliament. This talk will demonstrate how Charlton and other rural Massachusetts communities were at the forefront of the fight for independence at the start of the American Revolution. James David Moran served as the first director of outreach and then as vice president for programs and outreach at the American Antiquarian Society for 28 years. He has over 40 years' experience creating award-winning cultural and educational programming. Additionally, he is a writer, director, and producer who has created 14 plays, 12 of which have been produced. Most of these have been commissioned and are based on historical themes. These include The Chains of Liberty for the Worcester Revolution of 1774, Preserving All Others, and Isaiah Thomas Patriot Printer for the American Antiquarian Society, and Portraits Come Alive and Portraits of Freedom for Mechanics Hall. His innovative radio program called The History Show appeared on 151 public radio stations in 47 states. He lives in Charlton, Massachusetts, with his wife, Elizabeth, and cat Bingo. Copies of The History Show will be available for sale at the June 30th program, with the proceeds supporting both sponsoring institutions. Land, Revolution, and Charlton is free and open to the public. About CHPT. Charlton Heritage Preservation Trust acquires and maintains open space properties and conducts programs to enlighten and entertain people of all ages about protecting and enjoying the natural world. CHPT owns 19 conservation properties in Charlton, totaling over 200 acres of natural land open to the public. CHPT works with landowners, developers, and the town to balance healthy economic growth with conservation of important natural resources and historically significant places. CHPT relies on donations of land and funds to make new conservation projects possible, and on the volunteer help of its members and friends to preserve conservation areas for the public benefit. For more information and to check out all our properties, go to charltontrust.org, which is charltontrust.org. Or follow up on Facebook under Charlton Heritage Preservation Trust and Instagram under Charlton Trust. About CHS. The Charlton Historical Society collects, preserves, and shares the history of Charlton, Massachusetts. The Society maintains the number 2 schoolhouse and the historic Ryder Tavern, which serves as home to the Society. The CHS regularly offers tours, talks, and activities for all ages in the Ryder Tavern, a 22-room Turnpike Inn restored to its original 1799 condition. The private, nonprofit CHS also offers programs throughout the community. For more information, go to www.charltonhistoricalsociety.com. That's spelled CHARLTONHISTORICALSOCIETY.com. That story was Charlton Land Trust and Historical Society team up for Talk on Land and the American Revolution. The next story is local Girl Scout unveils Little Free Art Gallery at Joshua Hyde Public Library. Sturbridge. The Joshua Hyde Public Library now has a Little Free Art Gallery. The Little Free Art Gallery, located outside the library next to the book return bin, is the Gold Award project of Eileen Reed of Sturbridge Girl Scout Troop 64510. The Joshua Hyde Public Library will be hosting an official grand opening for the new art gallery on Wednesday, June 24th from 2 to 4 p.m. as part of the kickoff of the summer library reading program. Reed will be leading a dinosaur-themed art project and inviting the community to chalk the walk. Similar to the more common Little Free Library, the Little Free Art Gallery is a permanent installation where people are encouraged to share small pieces of art and art supplies. The goal is to give everyone in the community a chance to make and enjoy art. If you want to make art, you can put it in the gallery for others to enjoy. If you see something in the gallery that you like, then you could take it home to display. The gallery accepts donations of new crayons, colored pencils, or any other art supplies for someone else to pick up and use to create art. Art is a vital part of human expression and part of our right to free expression. The Little Free Art Gallery is meant to remind people how important art is and encourage everyone in the community, regardless of age or ability, to make something and enjoy the art that others have made too. As part of this project, Reed also taught several art classes at the library over the winter. The permanent installation of the gallery was delayed until the spring, but Eileen is ready to finally introduce the gallery and invite the community to use it and connect to one another. Reed is a recent graduate of the Tansahatchewa Regional High School and is getting ready to attend the Massachusetts College of Art and Design in the fall, where they will be pursuing a career in elementary art education. She recently was a student intern at Burgess Elementary School and a member of the Art Club and National Art Honor Society at Tantasqua. Eileen is grateful for the support from the Joshua Hyde Library and project's advisors and mentors, including Deb Drury, Jen Scherer, and Katie Taricano. The Gold Award is the highest award that a Girl Scout can earn. It requires a Girl Scout to identify an issue in the community, then plan and carry out a project that will have a lasting positive impact. There is a picture of the Little Free Art Gallery. So it looks like a yellow house that's made out of wood. It's got a black roof, and it's on a stand, so it's probably like kind of shoulder length to somebody. It's got a glass door that you could open to reach inside or put something inside. And it says it's hand-painted little free art gallery above the door, and then at the bottom of the door it says make art, take art. And you could see that it's in front of the library. There's some grass there, and then behind it is a rainbow flag. That story was Local Girl Scout Unveils Little Free Art Gallery at Joshua Hyde Public Library. The next story is Sheriff swears in Webster and Charlton residents as correctional officers. West Boylston. Worcester County Sheriff Lou Evangelidis recently administered the correctional officer oath to 14 graduates of the Worcester County Sheriff's Office 65th Basic Recruiting Training Academy, or BRTA, during a ceremony at the department's training and command center in West Boylston. Among the graduates were Officers Christian Cruz and Gabriel Cruz Pena of Webster and Matthew Clark of Charlton, who completed the Sheriff's Office 13-week correctional officer training program. The Academy prepares recruits for careers at the Worcester County Jail and House of Corrections through classroom instruction and hands-on training in areas including de-escalation techniques, defensive tactics, first responder protocols, mental health awareness, suicide prevention, and physical fitness. This graduating class includes recruits from seven Massachusetts communities, including three active duty service members or veterans of the United States Army. Quote, "After 13 rigorous weeks of training, I am proud to present some of the best and brightest future leaders in corrections," said Evangelidis. "I am confident these graduates are prepared to join our ranks and help advance our mission of public safety." Before entering the academy, applicants must complete a written examination, a physical fitness assessment, a comprehensive background investigation, and a psychological screening. To promote fairness and integrity in the hiring process, Evangelidis maintains a policy prohibiting letters of recommendation from elected officials and provides hiring preference to individuals who have honorably served in the United States Armed Forces. The Worcester County Sheriff's Office is currently accepting applications for its 66th Basic Recruit Training Academy, which begins in September 2026. For more information, visit www.worcesterCountySheriff.com/careers/correctional-officer-academy/. There is a picture of all three of the graduating officers. They're standing outside in like a park setting. They're wearing the black uniforms with the gold star pinned on them. They've got their hands folded in front of them, like at their waist. Their hair has been shaved off, so they're all bald or kind of close to being bald. And the two guys on the outside, Gabriel Cruz Pena and Christian Cruz, they're about the same height. But Matthew, oh my gosh, Matthew Clark, he's a super tall guy. My goodness. There is no photo credit given. That story was Sheriff swears in Webster and Charlton residents as correctional officers. The next story is Brimfield resident graduates with honors from James Madison University. Harrisonburg, Virginia. Grace Timmons of Brimfield graduated cum laude with a degree in health sciences, BS, from James Madison University during commencement exercises in May 2026. Timmons was among 4,737 students who received undergraduate and graduate degrees. Congratulations to all graduates and their families. Founded in 1908, James Madison University is a public university located in Virginia's Shenandoah Valley. JMU is one of the nation's leading lights in higher education, where students enjoy engaging relationships with world-class faculty who drive education innovation and support advanced research. With state-of-the-art amenities and facilities, students have access to NCAA Division I athletics. JMU also has the highest postgraduate job levels of all Virginia colleges. That was Brimfield Resident Graduates with Honors from James Madison University. The next story is local Girl Scouts donate Career Exploration Kit Library to Joshua Hyde Library. Sturbridge. Four cadet Girl Scouts from Troop 65240 will officially unveil their Girl Scout Silver Award project, a Career Exploration Kit Library, at the Joshua Hyde Public Library in Sturbridge on Thursday, June 11th, from 5 to 6 p.m. in the Children's Room. The public is invited to attend, and light refreshments will be served. Rory O'Keefe, Audrey Spicer, Lucy Ricci, and Skylar Sewell researched, fundraised for, assembled, and donated 12 hands-on career exploration kits to the library as part of their Silver Award, one of the highest honors in Girl Scouting. Each kit features a themed costume, props, and a career-related activity book covering professions including doctor, teacher, chef, firefighter, police officer, farmer, and more. The kits are now available for checkout by any library patron, free of charge. The Scouts identified a gap in available play-based learning resources for young children in their community. Research shows that early exposure to diverse careers, especially for girls and underrepresented groups, broadens long-term aspirations. By placing the kits at the Joshua Hyde Library, the troop ensured that every child in Sturbridge and the surrounding area has free access to imaginative, career-inspired play. The project was funded entirely through community sponsorships, with local businesses and families contributing $75 per kit. The Scouts also developed a care and maintenance guide for library staff to ensure the kits remain in good condition for years to come. Girl Scout Troop 65240 is led by Jen Spicer, Amanda Bedard, and Jennifer Ricci. That was a local Girl Scouts donate Career Exploration Kit Library to Joshua Hyde Library. The next story is the Spirit of Brimfield America 250 celebration to take place June 13th. Brimfield. On Saturday, June 13th, a community-wide celebration marking the 250th anniversary of our nation's freedom will take place in Brimfield. In recognition of this year's historical milestone, a full day of remembrance and celebration is planned. All are welcome to attend the day's events, which include the following. A pancake breakfast fundraiser by the Wales Community Food Pantry at the First Congregational Church in Brimfield. Revolutionary War-themed guided cemetery tours are offered at the Brimfield Cemetery on Wales Road, honoring those who volunteered to fight for freedom and the Brimfield families who supported them. At 1 p.m., Fife and Drum Music Army National Guard, 215th Band on the Town Common. Also face painting. 2 p.m., parade starting from the Public Safety Complex at 34 Wales Road, via the Town Common, to the Brimfield Winery. The parade features the Springfield Kilty Band, the 54th Massachusetts Volunteer Regiment Honor Guard of the Massachusetts National Guard, Paul Revere Mounted Rider, and Revolutionary Reenactors, the 54th Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry Regiment Civil War Reenactors with Muskets, 4-H Club, Brimfield's Antique Fire Truck, Veterans Float and Brimfield Library Float, the Hampton County Sheriff's Office Mounted Patrol Unit, participants from the Wales Library and Police and Fire Departments, and so much more. A ceremony at the Town Common gazebo, immediately following the parade, featuring the 250th Stars and Stripes flag raising, music, three-round musket volley by OSV Militia, historical reading by TRHS graduating senior Ben Banchand, honoring Brimfield's history in the Revolution, recognition of local legacy families whose Brimfield ancestors fought for freedom, keynote address from the Honorable Representative Todd Simola, and the recognition of Don Moriarty, Jim Adams, Cindy Skowira, and Kathleen Boyer for their selfless service to their communities, and more. Bring lawn chairs and blankets for your comfort and enjoyment on the town common. A celebration at the Brimfield Winery, immediately following the ceremony, featuring 18th century living history demonstrations, food trucks, patriotic youth art display by the Brimfield Elementary and Tantasqua Regional High Schools, face painting, old-fashioned kids games, music, a live broadcast from Classic Hits 97.7 FM, bonfire, and much more. A chicken barbecue sponsored by St. Christopher's Parish will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. at the winery. Purchase tickets at St. Christopher's, Hitchcock Academy, or online for $22. You get a half chicken, baked potato, salad, roll, and a drink. Limited quantity at the door for $25. The band, Soapstone, will perform from 6 to 9. And the day concludes with a grand display of fireworks. Additional details and updates will be available through the Friends of Historic Brimfield website and clicking or tapping the Spirit of Brimfield event image at www.fohbrimfield.org. Red, white, and blue Spirit of Brimfield event merchandise is also available to order on the website with direct shipping from the vendor. This event is currently being sponsored by the Massachusetts Army National Guard, Classic Hits 97.7 FM, and the Brimfield Winery. The Spirit of Brimfield would like to take this opportunity to thank all of our business level and private donors. Special thanks to Patriots Legacy sponsor Dennis McCurdy with the McCurdy Group, as well as Green Acres Antiques and Flea Market, AJS Restoration and Construction, Inc., and Action EMS for their generosity. That story was the Spirit of Brimfield America 250 celebration to take place June 13th. The next story is Charlton Public Library to host Repair Cafe. Charlton. The Charlton Library is looking for fixers for our first Repair Cafe. Are you good with tools? Do your friends often ask for your advice? Do you enjoy building, maintaining, and fixing things? Are you free on Saturday, October 24th? Reach out to Betsy Perry, Library Director, at 508-248-0452 or email at perryb at cwmars.org for more information. What is a repair cafe? A repair cafe is a gathering of volunteers who offer to consult on and possibly fix items that would otherwise go to landfills. The repair cafe concept is an attempt to reverse our society's throwaway culture. We throw out vast amounts of stuff, even things with almost nothing wrong and which just need a simple repair. The problem is that most people don't know how to fix things, and often it costs more than to have an expert repair something than to simply replace it. But replacing things rather than repairing them wastes raw materials and energy. It increases carbon dioxide emissions, and it expands our overflowing landfills. The Repair Cafe will be held October 24th at Charlton Public Library in partnership with Charlton Business Alliance, Charlton Lions Club, and Keep Charlton Beautiful. Charlton Public Library is located at 40 Main Street. That story was Charlton Public Library to host Repair Cafe. The next story is Toronto student earns bachelor's degree from Cedarville University. Cedarville, Ohio. Joni Kolaku from Tirana, Albania, earned a Bachelor of Science in Mechanical Engineering from Cedarville University. Cedarville University, an evangelical Christian institution in southwest Ohio, offers undergraduate and graduate residential and online programs across arts, sciences, and professional fields. With 7,265 students, it is among Ohio's largest private universities and is ranked among the nation's top five evangelical universities in the Wall Street Journal's 2026 Best Colleges in the U.S. Cedarville is also known for its vibrant Christian community, challenging academics, and high graduation and retention rates. Learn more at cedarville.edu. That's cedarville.edu. That was Tirana student earns bachelor's degree from Cedarville University. The next story is called Friday's Child. Chansey and Halo are energetic, creative sisters who share a very close bond. They enjoy spending time together, being active, and exploring new activities. Both girls love playing outside, getting creative with art projects, and making the most out of every adventure together. Chansey, the older sister, is outgoing, social, and confident. She makes friends easily and enjoys staying active through sports, especially soccer, basketball, and hockey. Chansey also enjoys arts and crafts and loves opportunities to express her creativity. She is caring toward her younger sister and enjoys encouraging and supporting Halo. Halo is a sweet and curious girl who may be a bit shy at first, but once she feels comfortable, her playful personality shines through. She enjoys swimming, gymnastics, and creative activities like drawing and coloring. Halo loves spending time with people she trusts and values the strong connection she shares with her sister. There is a picture of Halo and Chanty together. They are African-American darling little girls, and they're seated on a little bench with like a cloud and blue skies. It's kind of like a backdrop behind them. They're wearing these similar pastel-colored sweaters. They've got their hair in braids and pulled back. And it looks like they're smiling while they're holding like a little kitten. They're very, very cute. So Halo's registration number is 8753. She's age 10. And Chansey's registration number is 8603. And she's 11. So if you're interested, just go ahead and reach out to MARE, which is www.mareinc.org, which is mareinc.org. So if you wonder, can I adopt? If you're at least 18 years old, have a stable source of income, and room in your heart, you may be a perfect match to adopt a waiting child. Adoptive parents can be single, married, or partnered, experienced or not, renters or homeowners, LGBTQ plus singles and couples. As an adoptive parent, you won't have to pay any fees. Adoption from foster care is completely free in Massachusetts. The process to adopt a child from foster care includes training, interviews, and home visits to determine if adoption is right for you. These steps will help match you with the child or sibling group that your family will fit well with. To learn more about adoption from foster care, visit www.mareinc.org. Massachusetts Adoption Resource Exchange, or MARE, can give you guidance and information on the adoption process. Reach out today to find out all the ways you can help children and teens in foster care. That was Friday's Child. The next story is Opinion. Sustainable Investing Means Investing with Purpose by Trevor Nielsen. When you think about investing, you probably want your money to grow. But maybe you also want it to make a positive difference in the world while you continue pursuing your financial goals. That's the foundation of sustainable investing, an approach that considers environmental, social, and governance, or ESG, factors alongside traditional financial analysis. Sustainable investing allows you to support better business practices through your investment choices. It looks at how companies address issues ranging from climate change to worker well-being to corporate ethics. At its core, it's about aligning investments with personal values while still focusing on long-term financial outcomes. Here are the three main areas of sustainable investing. Number one, environmental considerations include how companies respond to climate change, use natural resources, and manage pollution. Number two, social factors address workforce well-being, product safety, and efforts to reduce social inequities. And number three, governance focuses on corporate behavior, ethics policies, and financial transparency. You may wonder whether investing sustainably means sacrificing returns. Research suggests that it doesn't. New York University's Stern Center for Sustainable Business reviewed more than 1,000 studies from 2015 through 2020 and found that incorporating ESG factors does not inherently diminish returns and in many cases is associated with improved financial performance. As with any investment approach, it's important to focus on high-quality investments that help support more consistent long-term returns. Sustainable investing can take several forms. ESG intentional strategies spread out your investments and have clear goals for choosing companies that follow strong environmental, social, and governance practices. Sustainable thematic strategies focus on specific issues, such as clean energy or water conservation. Impact investments go a step further, targeting measurable environmental or social outcomes. Because they prioritize more narrow, specific objectives, they may carry higher volatility and potentially lower returns. One concern you may hear about is greenwashing, which happens when companies or funds exaggerate their environmental efforts. To help prevent this, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission created a rule in 2023 that requires any fund with ESG in its name to keep at least 80% of its assets in ESG-aligned investments. Another challenge is data consistency. Today, 99% of S&P 500 companies report ESG metrics, according to the Center for Audit Quality. But different rating providers still use different methods. Looking at relative rankings can help you compare companies and mutual funds in a more consistent way. Deciding whether to include sustainable investments in your portfolio really depends on your values and financial goals. You can build a well-diversified portfolio with or without them. A qualified financial advisor can help you understand whether adding sustainable investments fits your overall strategy and makes sense for your situation. As more companies disclose ESG data and more funds offer sustainable options, investors have increasing opportunities to align their portfolios with their values without sacrificing their financial objectives. This article was written by Edward Jones for use by your local Edward Jones financial advisor. Please contact Trevor Nielsen, your local Edward Jones advisor in Sturbridge, at 508-347-1420 or trevor.nielsen@edwardjones.com. Edward Jones is a member of SIPC. That was Opinion. Sustainable Investing Means Investing with Purpose by Trevor Nielsen. The next story is Opening Doors Before Graduation. One of the most encouraging developments in education today is the growing recognition that students do not all follow the same path after high school. Some pursue four-year degrees. Others seek technical training, certifications, military service, or direct entry into the workforce. The challenge for educators is not to steer every student toward a single destination, but to ensure that every student leaves high school with meaningful opportunities ahead. That is why the continued growth of the Early College Southbridge Partnership deserves recognition. In only its second year, the program has expanded significantly, serving more students and helping them earn college credits while still in high school. More importantly, it is giving young people the chance to see themselves as college students before they ever walk across the graduation stage. For many families, higher education can feel distant. Financial concerns, transportation challenges, and uncertainty about the college experience can create barriers that seem difficult to overcome. In communities where many students are historically underrepresented in higher education, those barriers can be even more pronounced. Early college programs help remove some of those obstacles. Students are able to take college-level courses at no cost while receiving support from both their high school and college partners. They gain first-hand experience with the expectations of higher education while remaining in a familiar environment. Success in a college classroom builds confidence and demonstrates that higher education is not an abstract goal reserved for someone else. It is a realistic possibility. The partnership between Southbridge Public Schools and Quinsigamond Community College is particularly valuable because it goes beyond academics. Students are being introduced to career opportunities in fields such as healthcare, manufacturing, and information technology through site visits, job fairs, and industry partnerships. These experiences help students connect classroom learning to real-world careers and make more informed decisions about their futures. Just as important is the fact that the program continues to evolve. Expanding course offerings and developing career-focused pathways shows a commitment to meeting students where they are and preparing them for where they want to go. Programs like this also strengthen the community as a whole. Every college credit earned before graduation can reduce future educational costs for families. Every student who develops skills and confidence through early college becomes better prepared to contribute to the local workforce and economy. Every partnership between schools, colleges, and employers helps create a stronger pipeline of talent to the region. Education is often discussed in terms of test scores and graduation rates. Those measures have value, but they do not tell the whole story. The true measure of success is whether students leave school prepared for the opportunities and challenges that await them. The Early College Southbridge program is helping make that happen. By giving students a head start on college, exposure to careers, and access to opportunities that might otherwise seem out of reach, it is opening doors that can remain open for a lifetime. That is an investment worth celebrating, not only for the students participating today, but for the future of Southbridge itself. That story was Opening Doors Before Graduation, which sounded a lot like the very first article I read, but I promise they were not the same. The next story is The Last Person Who Knows How, Lanterns Along Main Street by Charles. I was standing in a small shop not long ago when I heard a sentence that stuck with me. Quote, "The problem is that he's the last one who knows how to do it." The speaker wasn't talking about some high-tech computer system or complicated piece of machinery. He was talking about a repair that had been done the same way for decades. The man who knew how to do it was nearing retirement. Nobody had replaced him. Nobody had learned the skill. Suddenly, everyone realized that something they had taken for granted might disappear. That conversation got me thinking. Every town has people like that. They're not usually famous. They don't make headlines. Most folks outside their circle have no idea who they are. Yet they possess a kind of knowledge that doesn't exist in instruction manuals. They know how things work, not just machines, but communities. They're the woman who remembers why a tradition started, the volunteer who knows where the spare keys are kept, the carpenter who can look at an old building and immediately understand how it was constructed, or the mechanic who can identify a problem by sound alone. They are the librarian who somehow remembers where every odd document is stored, and the farmer who can tell what the weather is likely to do simply by watching the sky. These people carry enormous amounts of knowledge in their heads. What's remarkable is that much of it was never formally taught. It was handed down. One person learned it from another, who learned it from someone before them. For generations, that was how communities worked. You learned by watching. You learned by helping. You learned by making mistakes while somebody older stood nearby and patiently explained why the mistake happened. There is something wonderfully human about that process. The information isn't separated from the person sharing it. A lesson about repairing a fence might come with three stories, two jokes, and an opinion about the Red Sox. The knowledge arrives wrapped in personality. These days, of course, we can find instructions for almost anything in seconds. Need to replace a faucet? There's a video. Need to bake bread? Thousands of recipes are available online. Need to identify a bird? An app probably could help. That's all useful, and I'm glad we have those resources. But information and wisdom are not quite the same thing. Information tells you what to do. Wisdom tells you when to do it, when not to do it, and what might happen if you ignore the obvious. That's harder to search for online. I sometimes worry that we don't always recognize the value of these local experts until they're gone. We assume they'll always be around. Then one day they retire, move away, or simply decide it's time to slow down. Suddenly, people are asking questions nobody can answer. How is this event organized every year? Who maintained that old piece of equipment? Why was this tradition started in the first place? The answers often leave with someone who never thought to write them down. Fortunately, I also see reasons for optimism. Across Massachusetts, there are still people willing to teach. Retired tradesmen help younger workers. Grandparents pass along recipes. Volunteers show newcomers how things are done. Coaches mentor assistant coaches. Gardeners share cuttings and advice over backyard fences. The knowledge continues to move from one generation to the next, just as it always has. The trick is making sure we pay attention while the teachers are still here. Ask questions. Listen to stories. Learn why things are done the way they are. You might discover that what looks like ordinary conversation is actually the transfer of something valuable. Every community depends on people who know things that cannot easily be replaced. Their knowledge helps keep traditions alive, solves problems before they become crises, and quietly holds communities together. If we're lucky, somebody is learning from them right now. Otherwise, someday we'll be standing in a shop somewhere, shaking our heads and saying, "The problem is that she was the last one who knew how to do it." That was The Last Person Who Knows How, by Charles from Lanterns Along Main Street. The next story is Worcester Polytechnic Institute students complete intensive capstone research projects. Worcester. Worcester Polytechnic Institute students completed a capstone thesis called the Major Qualifying Project, or MQP, a research-driven, professional-level project that challenges students to solve the kinds of problems they would typically encounter in their professional discipline. This project is required of all graduating seniors as part of the university's distinctive project-based educational experience. It's inspiring to see the creativity and skills that our students bring to these projects, as well as the professionalism with which they present their research, says Arnie Gericke, Interim Dean of Undergraduate Studies and Director of the Office of Undergraduate Research. Their experience managing a major project like this, including identifying a problem and researching all of the implications and possible solutions, while also managing team dynamics over an extended period of several months, it sets them up well for success not only in their first jobs after graduation, but throughout their careers. WPI's innovative undergraduate education is centered around project-based learning, a hands-on approach that offers students opportunities to apply their scientific and technical knowledge to real-world open-ended problems. These projects produce tangible results that affect the quality of people's lives, an experience that changes both the student and the world. MQPs are usually team-based and often focus on specific issues or needs of an organization that has partnered with the university to sponsor the student's work. In addition to providing practical work experience that proves valuable to future employers, MQPs often lead to publications in peer-reviewed journals, presentations at regional and national conferences, patents, and entrepreneurial ventures. Others become useful innovations and products for their corporate sponsors. The following local students completed projects. Alexander Shetler, a member of the class of 2026 majoring in computer science, completed a project titled Mapping Global China, Visualization Design and Development. Charlton resident Joseph Dumas, class of 2026, majoring in architectural engineering, completed a project titled 2026 AIA COTE COTE Competition Submission. Charlton resident Adam Foucher, class of 2026, majoring in Society, Technology, and Policy, completed a project titled 100 Years and 100 Days, Examining Rhetorical and Legal Strategies. Charlton resident Bridget McGonigal, class of 2027, majoring in Chemical Engineering, completed a project titled Astaxanthin Production in Red Yeast Using Wireless LEDs. About Worcester Polytechnic Institute. Worcester Polytechnic Institute, or WPI, is a top-tier STEM-focused university with an R1 research classification and global leadership in project-based learning. Founded in 1865, WPI's distinctive approach integrates classroom theory with real-world practice, preparing students to tackle critical challenges through inclusive education, impactful projects, and interdisciplinary research. With more than 70 bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degree programs across 18 academic departments and over 50 global project centers, WPI advances knowledge and innovation in fields such as life sciences, smart technologies, advanced materials and manufacturing, and global innovation. Learn more at www.wpi.edu. That was Worcester Polytechnic Institute students complete intensive capstone research projects. The next story is St. Anne and St. Patrick Parish announces Young Adult Alpha Program. Sturbridge. St. Anne and St. Patrick Parish will hold a Young Adult Alpha program for those seeking to explore life's biggest questions and the foundations of the Christian faith in a safe and welcoming space. Young adults between the ages of 18 and 30 are invited to attend this no-cost program. The program comprises three important components: connection, content, and conversation. Participants share light refreshments, which helps to build friendships. After watching a short video, participants explore core questions about faith, God, and purpose. Small group discussions about the video encourage participants to ask key questions and share opinions in a non-judgmental environment. Young Adult Alpha will meet on June 22nd, 23rd, 29th, 30th, and July 7th, 13th, and 14th. All meetings take place in the Parish Center at St. Anne, St. Patrick Parish, located at 16 Church Street in Sturbridge, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Light refreshments will be served. To register or for more information, contact alphasturbridge@gmail.com, which is alphasturbridge@gmail.com. St. Anne St. Patrick Parish is an active parish community. It offers daily mass for worship, religious education, and community ministries. It welcomes visitors to St. Anne Shrine, the new memorial for the unborn, the Hall of Saints, the Russian icon exhibit, the Votive Chapel, the Generation Statue, and the Angel of Hope Monument. The daily rosary is recited at 3 p.m. in the St. Patrick Chapel, and weekend masses are celebrated in its outdoor pavilion in the summer. Its religious gift shop is open every day from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. That story was St. Anne St. Patrick Parish Announces Young Adult Alpha Program. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Melanie Guralnick. Thank you for listening.
This is Bird Note. The white-tailed kite is a bird of prey with an uncanny ability. Facing her slender body into the wind, with pointed wings and broad tail outstretched, the bird appears to hover mid-air, like, well, a kite. White-tailed kites are mostly pale, except for black patches on their wings and their signature red eyes. They only live in a few states in the U.S., but they're common in grasslands throughout much of Central and South America, where they hunt for rodents and small prey. These raptors can be territorial during the breeding season, when males defend prime hunting grounds to feed their mate and chicks. But the rest of the year, kites are more gregarious. It's not unusual to find 100 kites roosting in the same clump of trees. Though white-tailed kites are globally abundant, they still face threats from habitat loss as humans convert native grasslands to farms, pastures, and urban developments. We can support these graceful raptors by preserving the grasslands they call home. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. This episode is dedicated in memory of Alice Ashbaugh, a lifelong birdwatcher and amateur ornithologist.
When someone you know is struggling with vision loss, it can be challenging. But the Mass Commission for the Blind is here to help. We'll connect them to resources that will help them plan for the future with new skills and assistive technology. Find out if they're eligible to register for services. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB. That's 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB.